James chapter 1, verses 2 through 12. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with his scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 23. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. And the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are trying to gain time, because you see that the word from me is firm. If you do not make the dream known to me, there is but one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. For no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they saw Daniel and his companions to kill them. And Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree of the king so urgent? And Arioch made the matter known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise. For you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gracious Father, we do indeed thank you and praise you for your word. And we ask now that you would strengthen us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we might hear your word, not only with our ears, with our minds, but with our hearts and with our souls. Father, we pray that your word would go forth from these lips, anointed by you, strengthened by your power, that we may hear not the words of man, but that which you would have for us, Father, we pray that you would cause your word to go forth according to your will, that it might not return void, that it might pierce our hearts and our souls, that it might reveal to us our sin, that it might offer us the soothing balm of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that your word, as it is spoken to us, would illuminate for us our Savior, would illuminate for us this great salvation we have in you because of him. And Father, we pray that your word would work its will, work your will among us, that it would strengthen our faith, that we would be sanctified even now as we hear these things, and that we would be further conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Lord works in mysterious ways. How many of us have heard this idiom? How many of us have said it? When something unexpected happens, or a decision is changed without obvious cause, or when we actually have those times when we see the good come out of a bad event, this is a phrase that is often used. Interestingly, however, it is a phrase not found in the Scriptures. We use it as if it is biblical. But nowhere in the Bible do we find this sentence, "The Lord works in mysterious ways." In fact, this phrase originated in the late 1700s with the English poet William Cowper, also a hymnist. And it is a stanza in one of his poems. But while the words themselves never officially appear in Scriptures, the truth of them is there for us to see. For the Lord does often work in ways that are mysterious. And as we turn to our text in Daniel chapter 2 this morning, we do so already recognizing the ways of the Lord, those ways which are not our ways, and which are, in fact, higher than our ways, as Isaiah puts it in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Where God speaks to the prophet Isaiah and says specifically, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so while the Lord works in mysterious ways is not a biblical phrase, the truth of it is found in the Scriptures. The Lord does work in ways that many times for us as human beings are mysterious or are hard to understand. As we have seen already in Daniel chapter 1, God has used the pagan king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon as a means of fulfilling his word to the Israelites of old. His word he spoke to them that if they departed from him, if they turned to idols, if they rejected him as God and king, he would chastise them even with exile. And so Nebuchadnezzar is God's fulfillment of his word. But in the midst of that exile, we have also noted that God is subtly working in his people, specifically four of them, Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. For as they struggled to live in Babylon by faith, God himself is the one who strengthened them, we are told. God himself is the one who showed them favor and compassion. God himself is the one who granted them wisdom and understanding beyond their years, even as they were undergoing the indoctrinating purposes of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And yet in doing all of these things, as we see in chapter 1, we find that God does so with an air of mystery. He's working behind the scenes. He's working in ways that are unexpected, not making his purposes immediately clear. But if the mystery of God's providential work is found in Daniel chapter 1, then chapter 2 only adds to that mystery and reinforces the biblical truth that his thoughts are indeed higher than our thoughts. His ways are truly higher than our ways, for it is in this chapter that we find God beginning to reveal himself through the dreams of a pagan king. As Nebuchadnezzar takes the stage here in chapter 2 and following and becomes a vehicle for God's providential purposes. Here is God using a pagan king not only to serve his will in bringing his people into exile, but also as a vehicle through which he gives us prophecy. For as we begin to see the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, we begin to see that these dreams themselves are given by God. Rarely would we look to such a man to find the truth of God being spoken. And yet here we find in Daniel the mysterious hand of the Lord speaking truth through the dreams of a pagan king. And so we are told in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he dreamed. In the second year of his ruling, either counted from his ascent to the throne, as some might, or as some scholars argue, counted from his taking of Jerusalem. Whichever one Daniel is counting them from, we are not sure. But whatever the case, it is early in his reign, and we find the king in a great deal of distress. He has had dreams, and his spirit is troubled, and he cannot sleep. Many of us know, unfortunately, the same feeling, perhaps not because of dreams, but perhaps because of dreams. But here is Nebuchadnezzar with dreams, and he's so bothered by them that he cannot sleep. And if you're like me, the lack of sleep, the inability to fall asleep is truly troubling, whether it's because of dreams or not. And so we can imagine the state of Nebuchadnezzar. He is agitated and he is on edge and he is wanting to sleep but can't. And he's been given these dreams, but he's bothered. And it's not just this I can't sleep bother. It's the troubled in the depth of his soul bothered. His spirit itself is troubled. The text tells us he was plagued by these dreams that troubled him. And as we know from Daniel and from other extra-biblical sources, the Babylonians and other cultures of that day in that area particularly put great stock in dreams, especially if they were as troubling as the ones Nebuchadnezzar was having. And as we will find moving through this chapter, this dream is indeed a dream of note, for the dream itself is a prophecy from God. But while the dream itself is of God, as Daniel will tell Nebuchadnezzar in verse 28 of this chapter, the initial reaction Nebuchadnezzar has offers us a sense of his person. For in his agitated state, he calls his magicians and his enchanters and his wise men to him, and he demands to know what these dreams mean. This isn't just him sitting around a table with his friends sharing a dream and saying, "Hey, what do you guys think?" This is the king has called everybody in his nation that has done this kind of thing before to himself, that they might tell him what his dreams mean. But more than that, he demands they tell him the dream itself first. And there's some confusion among scholars as to whether he doesn't actually remember his dream, which is very possible. How many of us have had dreams that trouble us, and yet we have that sense of angst or anxiety in the morning, and we know we dreamed something and it bothered us, but we can't really remember what it was. And so there's that possibility that Nebuchadnezzar's bothered, but he can't really put his finger on exactly why, and he can't really say what his dream was. He just knows it was irksome and important, or what's also indicated in the text, that he's actually using this as a test of the power of his magicians, that he's testing their veracity, their ability to be truthful with him. Perhaps the thought that they would make something up as the interpretation was on his mind, as it seems to be as he answers them the second time, where he says, if you do not show me the dream and its interpretation, or if you do not show me the dream, how can you show me the interpretation? I know, as he says in verse 8, you're just trying to gain time. And so whether it's that thought, that these guys have been lying to me all the time with corrupt and lying words, as he indicates in chapter 9, or whether he truly doesn't remember, is unclear. Because there's a very real chance they would make something up as the interpretation, and he was trying to ensure that they wouldn't make it up. It bothered him so much he wanted to make sure that the interpretation of these things were real. Because in the reality is, how easy is it to make something up? If you tell me a dream, I can pretty much tell you anything, right? I mean, and you can't confirm it, and I can't confirm it, and unless it comes to pass, it's not confirmed, and generally we forget about it. And either way, they must tell him both the dream and the interpretation. That is the command of the king. But it's not just the command of the king. It's commanded in such a way that he says, if you do not do these things, I will kill you. They must tell him both dream and interpretation, or he will have them killed in very graphic fashion. Not just executed, but graphically he says, I will have you torn apart. I will have you torn limb from limb. Not only that, I'll destroy your houses. I'll lay waste to your property. And in that day and age, when somebody threatened your house and your property, they were also threatening your household. The chance was he would kill all of the magician's families, their wives and their children. And we see in this the depraved nature of this king, who either by a whim of his own power, or perhaps by madness, as some have suggested, or maybe the fierce anger of this troubled spirit, he is so bothered by what he has dreamed and that he cannot sleep. Whatever it may be, we see the nature of Nebuchadnezzar, who will level such a vicious penalty on someone who can't tell him the dream or interpret it. And yes, the magicians and the enchanters are dancing around the issue. Tell us the dream, king, and we'll tell you the interpretation. Tell us the dream, and we'll give it to you. We can't do it without the dream. He says, well, if you don't, then how do I believe your interpretation? So you can tell me both, or you can die. And so finally, the magicians and the enchanters admit the truth in verse 11. In verse 10, they say, nobody can do what you're saying. There's not a man on earth who can do what you're saying. In fact, no king has ever asked what you're asking. In a sense, they're accusing you. You can't even ask this. What you're asking is unreasonable. We can't do this. We can't tell you your dream and the interpretation. Not only that, no one can show it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh, they say. For here the magicians and the enchanters admit the truth in verse 11, a truth that will serve as an undercurrent to much of the book of Daniel, as Daniel interprets dreams and visions. That they themselves, as the magicians and the enchanters of Babylon, possessed very little power. That though they touted the gods of Babylonian culture, they could not hear those gods. They were not privy to the plans and purposes of those gods. The king would have to hear it from the gods himself if he was to hear it at all. And he wouldn't even hear it, they indicate, because the gods don't live among us. They don't dwell with flesh. And so there's really no way for you to know what your dream means, because the gods don't talk to us. Now, whether they have told the king before that the gods talk to them or not, we don't know. But here they are admitting it. We don't know. And no one can show it to you except the gods. And they probably won't, because they don't live among us. Their dwelling is not with flesh. Well, of course, the failure of Babylonian paganism didn't sit well with the king. the failure of all these enchanters and magicians, the men who were most likely highly paid in his court and who had received great favor from him over the years, does not sit well with him. And so the king kept his word. For though he was violent in his promise, he was also ready to keep that promise. And so the scriptures tell us, because of these things, he was angry and very furious. And so he commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. They were going to be torn limb from limb and their houses razed to the ground. And so the decree went out and the wise men were being rounded up and were about to be killed, we are told. And they came for Daniel and his companions, not to hear from them, but to kill them. Daniel and his companions who didn't know what was going on. Even though the end of chapter 1 tells us they were wiser and greater than all of the magicians in the land, they were out of the loop. And so Daniel said, why is this decree so urgent? What is going on? Why are you coming to kill us? In a sense, he hadn't even given Daniel a chance. And so Daniel asks for the chance. And the Bible tells us with wisdom and prudence, with discretion, he speaks to the captain of the king's guard, the one who would be the executioner. As he rounds them up, Daniel replied and asked why that they were doing this. And Arioch told him, explained it. Chances are Arioch stood there and watched all of these things happen. The king's had some dreams, and he's in one of those moods, don't you know? And I am here to fulfill his wishes, because nobody could tell him his dream or his interpretation. And so Daniel requested the king talk to him before he leveled this sentence of destruction. Please let the king talk to me. Now it's interesting, because Daniel hadn't yet received understanding in this particular matter. And so he pleads for an appointment with the king, which we can know from later in the chapter was granted. And after it was granted, he went into his companions, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he said, you guys need to start praying. I've asked for an audience with the king, and if we don't get this right, we're all going to die, along with all the Babylonian magicians and enchanters. He went into his house and he made this matter known to his companions and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning the mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And so here we find, as Daniel and his friends are approached, we find the hand of God working through his people in this pagan land once again. For Daniel, rather than quail before the edict of the vindictive king, turned to the Lord, turned to God himself in prayer, and he brought his friends before God in prayer. And as they prayed that night, we are told, God revealed himself to Daniel. He revealed the mystery to Daniel. He gave him both the dream and the interpretation, as we will see at the end of this chapter. As we noted in our New Testament text this morning, James tells us to seek the Lord in prayer when we desire wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously and without reproach. Daniel and the other three turned to God in faith and asked for wisdom. Daniel and the other three turned to God in faith and prayed. And they asked God for wisdom, and they asked God for understanding, and God gave to them generously. God gave them to them generously in such a manner that their lives were saved. Their lives literally were on the line. And in answering the prayer of Daniel, God saved his people. God saved Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. For as we will see in the next weeks, Daniel took this mystery that was revealed to him before Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, who was true to his word to kill everybody because they could not interpret his dream and his or could not give him the dream and the interpretation, was also true to his word to reward anyone who would. But at the end of chapter 2, we find Daniel receiving great reward. But here is God answering the prayers of his people in such a manner that he saves their very lives. His people who turn to him in faith, who bend the knee not to the whims of a vindictive king, but to God himself. And in like manner, we find ourselves saved by that same generosity of God. For as we turn to him in faith and we seek his wisdom, the scriptures tell us he gives it. He gives us wisdom and understanding. But not just any wisdom and understanding. First and foremost, the wisdom and understanding of salvation. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, as Paul is speaking to Timothy and he's encouraging him in his ministry, he's also calling Timothy to remember certain things and to hold fast to certain things. He tells Timothy, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." Wise. True wisdom for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. For the gods of Babylon could not communicate with the magicians and enchanters. The gods of Babylon did not dwell among their constituents within the flesh. God himself has revealed his perfect wisdom and his perfect righteousness to us in the flesh. Make no mistake, we live in a culture that is very similar to Babylon of old. Yes, our technology is different. But we live in a culture much the same as Babylon of old. We pride ourselves in enlightenment and in our progressive knowledge, just as those of that day did. They thought themselves the pinnacle of the ancient world. We live in a culture that is much the same as Babylon, with men and women seeking to understand their lives through the same means as the people of Babylon. If you don't believe the culture of dream interpretation is alive and well, a very quick search on the internet will show you otherwise, that it is prevalent. Connecting with the dead through dreams and through memories is a multi-million dollar business scattered across our airwaves. The tacit worship of gods and goddesses is all around us. Sometimes it is admitted, for there are those who speak of these things openly. Many times it is not. The pagan practices of Babylon, though scoffed at by some, are observed daily by people from every walk of life, even if it is not obvious. And the magicians and the charlatans abound, offering their services for a price. Magicians and enchanters, sometimes found in the guise of Christian ministers and teachers, to do their magic tricks and to make people think that they have the answers. And yet when everyone is honest and all of it comes down to its essence, they must admit what the Babylonian magicians admitted. Their gods do not dwell in the flesh. These things are a sham. They're false. They're idolatry. For as we seek true wisdom and true knowledge, we must do as Daniel did and turn to our God and King in faith. As we turn to our God in faith, we find that he does indeed speak to us. Not that we might interpret each other's dreams. Something bigger. Something better. Something greater. John tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's interesting, the wording used in Daniel is so similar to the wording used in John. The Word became flesh and did dwell among us. Our God did become flesh and come to earth to dwell among us. And as John says, we have seen His glory. Glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Our God has come to us, and He has given us grace, and He has taught us truth, and He has done so through His only Son, Jesus Christ. And as we turn to Him in faith, we find wisdom. Not the wisdom of a world floundering to find some meaning in a dream or latch on to some false hope. We find eternal wisdom. The wisdom that Paul says brings us salvation. The wisdom that brings us redemption. The wisdom that brings us forgiveness of sins and ultimately eternal life. And yet so many Christians get caught up in the pursuit of the pagan, in the chase of worldly wisdom, in the desire to understand dreams, or the longing to have certainty in future events, or the appeal of some earthly hope, and a yearning to learn their destiny even from the stars. And all of these things were things the Babylonian magicians offered. They were the first astrologers, and they practiced these arts among their people. And yet ultimately, at the end of the day, they failed to provide. They failed to provide truth and wisdom and understanding. And the reality is, we act as if our culture is so much more enlightened, and yet how many people turn to exactly the same things, desiring what Nebuchadnezzar desired. For these things are offered in our own culture, but these things, as the Babylonians found, as Nebuchadnezzar found, will ultimately fail. They can offer no truth. They can offer no wisdom. They can offer no hope. For it is only in Jesus Christ that we find truth and wisdom and hope. It is only in Jesus Christ we find light and understanding. It is only in Jesus Christ that we find knowledge of things spiritual and things eternal. It is only through Jesus Christ that we find life. It is only through Jesus Christ that we find grace upon grace brought to us because of His sacrifice, His death, and His resurrection. The One who came to us in the flesh, died in the flesh, rose again in the flesh, that He would make known to us the fullness of the counsel of God for our redemption, for our salvation, and for our future hope of glory. And so may we, like Daniel, turn to our God in faith and trust. Not in the subtle paganism of the world around us that speaks of an easy yet false hope, but faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, who has dwelt among us and brought us the true hope of salvation. May we turn to Jesus Christ each day and wholly trust in Him. For though the Lord does work in mysterious ways, He has revealed that mystery to us. Paul tells us it is a mystery no longer. But we who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, as he says in Ephesians 3, know that we may know the manifold wisdom of God, the wisdom of God unto salvation. That which once was a mystery is mystery no longer. For the doors have been thrown open and the light has been shined into our hearts, and we see through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ the very wisdom of God that brings us hope and comfort and ultimately eternal life. Nothing which this world can offer. Nothing with the magicians and charlatans of this world can offer. All of it offered only by God Himself through Jesus Christ the Son. And we can know it. We can know it. The magician said, only the king can know it from the gods. You have to know it for yourself. It's this thing that has to be communicated to you and you alone by the gods, and they don't dwell in the flesh. But here we have this idea that what Nebuchadnezzar could never know on his own because his gods were false and would never communicate with him, we know without doubt because our God has come to earth as one of us and has communicated these things to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ and in His Word that He has given to us. And we can know these things as the anchor of our soul and our hope. We can know these things without doubt. We can stand before a pagan world and say, on this truth I stand, because I have heard it. On these things I stand, for they are true. And they have made us wise unto salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, as Paul says. And so may we stand before a world that throws false gods at us from the right, from the left. May we stand, and when we see these things happen, as Daniel did, let us turn to God in faith. Let us seek Him for wisdom and understanding, trusting that His ways are truly higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But with that sure and certain hope of James, that if we ask of Him, He is generous, and He gives to us generously without reproof. And as we search these things and pray for these things and find these things true, as they're given to us by the hand of our gracious God, may we then say with Daniel in verse 20. May we say these things with Daniel as we truly believe in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we have apprehended these things in the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we echo with Daniel, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. Amen.